Well, let's now turn in God's Word to Psalm 81. Psalm 81, as we come to prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be reading Psalm 81, verse 10. Psalm 81 and verse 10. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, again, thank You for blessing Your children, blessing us with our time today in worship, that we would rest in You. Grant us now Your Word, not only in our ears, but that You would work it, receiving by faith in our hearts, and unto change and sanctification and salvation in Your people, even in our wills and our affections. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 81, verse 10. These are God's words. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Those are God's words. It is the great design of the gospel and all sacraments to make the souls of God's people blessed and happy. And so Christ is presented. Christ is offered. In Christ our souls find solid and complete satisfaction. Everyone here desires to be happy. Everyone here desires to be satisfied and feel satisfied in your soul, in your heart. And yet often we apply to our lives those things of our natural sinful desires to make happiness. And yet true happiness, satisfaction, never comes because you seek it through your natural desires. That since the fall of man in sin, man constantly seeks happiness by natural desires and never finds it. And yet the problem is, of course, that you cannot lift your eyes to the Lord. You cannot move towards Him. You cannot seek after Him. You cannot do anything in seeking the Lord until the Lord breaks the chains of your slavery by His saving grace and brings you to Himself. And here in this verse, we see that the Lord comes to sinners. And when they had no desire for Him, reminding us of that redemption out of Egypt, and He comes while they are in the midst of idolatry and love with the present world, which provides no lasting happiness to a people He would save. He comes to them whom He would save. And He calls them here to renounce all their other loves and give up all their idols and take Him, the living God, instead of all and everything else. That they would know love and they would be satisfied and truly happy. He first begins stating that He has done something all idols and all other worldly loves never did. He says, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. In Egypt, where Israel were slaves to Pharaoh, and when you were oppressed under his rule, he's talking about to Israel, where were all your idols then to save you? Where were they to save you from the hand of Pharaoh when he refused to let you go? Where were all those things that you cling to? Deuteronomy 32 says, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. When you are brought out of slavery and out of idolatry, ask, was it the Lord or your idols that did that to you to save you from your sins? And Lord here also says that He can do for you what those dead, lifeless idols cannot in the world. Namely, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. There are times that you've opened your mouth to your idols, and yet they have remained empty, never filled. But the Lord comes and says, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." What's implied here? That there is in poor sinners an emptiness that needs to be filled. They have been lost and never found God themselves, or they have lost God in everywhere you go and in every room you go to find happiness and satisfaction. In each room of a million rooms you could search and you find nothing for the satisfaction of your souls. The man or woman who has Christ in their heart has beyond enough to satisfy. But let a man or woman have what he wants, and if you don't have Christ in you, then you don't have anything that can satisfy. One theologian said, "All the devil's trash can never fill the heart. Many empty spaces in that heart where Christ is not, which plagues them like a dog-like appetite, which is never satisfied." And yet here, you are offered freely to be filled, to be satisfied, to be happy, to have the filling of your soul with the fullness of God. The only thing that can fill the mouth of your soul offered to you. Now it's easy for you to fill your mouth, the mouth of your body, but that does not satisfy your body, does it? Not truly. Because in a few hours later, you're hungry again. You're never truly satisfied. It satisfies for a time, and then you need to fill it again and fill it again. But there is nothing in all creation that can fill the mouth of your soul. Only the Lord can fill it. He alone can satisfy. Christ delivered Israel out of Egypt as the type of the great redemption that we have alone in Him. Remember what it says, 1 Corinthians 10. "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted in the wilderness, and were destroyed of serpents." And so the Lord comes, and Christ is offered to fill the mouth of your soul. The command to you is, "Open thy mouth wide." And the theologian says this, let the soul only, as a hungry infant, lay its mouth by faith on the breast of Christ's consolations, and they shall flow abundantly. Shut not your mouth like the stubborn child deciding you will have none of Christ, but come, open your mouth to receive, and He will give. There is a fullness in Christ, sufficient to satisfy the greatest desires of any soul. And so come and open your mouth wide. Well, how should you open your mouth? How do you do that? What does it mean to open up your soul wide to Christ? If you are to open up your soul to Christ, then you must first examine your heart to see that apart from Christ, it is empty. Proverbs 27 says, the full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. This was the ruin of the church of Laodicea in Revelation. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Right? They had no need, the church in Laodicea, they had no need because they said to themselves, "I'm rich, I have great goods, I have need of nothing." And what does Jesus say about them? "You're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind because you don't think you need to open your mouth wide to be filled by me." Like to the blind men, Jesus comes to the soul of them in Matthew's Gospel and says, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" What will you? What do you desire that I do unto you? He calls to them that they would come to understand and grasp their present condition before He heals them. He wants them to know, you're blind. I want sight. And He comes to us and asks, what is the problem? And the problem is, I'm empty. And I need my soul filled with Jesus Christ. And so He calls them and helps them to grasp their present condition first. Look at your sins before a holy God. And where will you find forgiveness? You look to the law, and your conclusion, you must say, I have nothing good of myself, I can do nothing. You have to come and see that your mouth is empty. There needs to be a sense of a need if you were to open your mouths. Now, there are a lot of people in the world who reign as kings in their mind, but they believe they have no need because there's so much they already have, just like we just read of the people in Laodicea. In their mind, they don't need anything because there's so much they already have, and all which can't satisfy nor make them happy, and yet they keep accumulating it. In Job 21, it says, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? Now contrast that with the mouth of the soul that is open wide like the prodigal son. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He knows he's hungry, and he runs home to his father. Right? Undone without Jesus. The soul is pressed with the question, what shall I do to be saved? What shall I do to be saved? There's no happiness. There's nothing good for my soul except in Christ the Mediator. If you open wide the mouth of your soul, then you must be wholly dissatisfied with all other things but Jesus. One says, clothe a starving man with scarlet and fill his pockets with gold and advance him to the highest honors, and this is not meat, and therefore he cannot be satisfied. Why? Because he's starving and you're clothing him with clothes, giving him gold, but you don't fill his mouth. Remember in Ecclesiastes what that is. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. 1,000 worlds will not satisfy your soul unless you have Jesus. And so open the mouth of your soul. The open mouth is one that turns from all vanities and turns to Christ for satisfaction alone. Like the baby bird in the nest, turning always towards their mother, their mouth open wide, crying out. The baby who's hungry, sucking on various things and never finding happiness until it comes and fixes to their mother's breast. Same thing. But so too, an open mouth has an assured expectation from Christ. For so He has promised, even here, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I will fill all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Believing ye shall receive. The soul that believes that Christ can do it, as Christ has promised, will receive. Without faith, the soul can't open its mouth to Christ, but shuts it up without any hope. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. What Jesus offers in the gospel is Himself to feed you. And if you open now your mouth, you would be well fed. Well, now we ask the question, well, how does Jesus fill the soul of the one who opens wide? What you can find in Jesus can be found in no other, for alone Jesus satisfies the soul. We hear when we have the Lord's Supper, often Isaiah 55, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Or you think of it another way. What good are riches and honors and pleasures to a soul that is condemned under guilt? Jesus Christ alone satisfies all the needs of your soul. Revelation 3, again, says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Remember, we said that just a few moments ago. In other words, Christ is sufficient for all the needs of your soul. Christ is sufficient. Colossians 1 says, it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. There is enough in Jesus to satisfy the desires of your soul, even the fullness of all deity. You can search all of creation, perhaps find something that your soul desires. But when the soul comes to Jesus, in which you extend your desires to the greatest, Jesus will fill your desires forever, completely, without end. And there is nothing even evermore you will crave, or nothing more that you'll ever want, because Jesus is sufficient. You compare the desires of your soul in coming to Christ to the ocean. And coming to Christ to the ocean of all your boundless desires in Christ, you will never reach the bottom and you will never get to the shore. He satisfies completely our souls forever and infinitely. So that then when you open the mouth to Christ, your mouth to Christ, He gives to your soul what it needs to be filled in Him. Jesus gives Himself to your soul so that your soul will say with the song maker, the Song of Solomon, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. In John's Gospel, he says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. If Jesus is all in all, then there is nothing that he cannot supply you and fill you with of himself. And what does Romans 8 declare to us? That Christ Jesus supplies all good things with himself. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Right? He says, Psalm 84, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you come to Christ and open your mouth wide, he will not withhold one thing good for you. If you're united to Christ, you're married unto Him by faith, then you're an heir to all things. You are rich in Him. John 4, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And you are so satisfied that when everything of this life and on this earth is taken away from you, you still have enough in Christ. You still have everything. And you can rejoice in the Lord and the joy and rejoice in God, the God of your salvation. Like Habakkuk 3. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So that in Jesus we have the fullness of merit to look to. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all our sin. Look in your soul. Examine your soul and you will see fullness of sin, debt, misery, guilt, and poverty without Christ. Apart from Him. What you will find is mind and lips and a heart full of sin. And nothing can take such things away from you except Jesus Christ and fill you with every good thing. You're looking to Christ, you see a fountain. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness to cleanse us of all of them. Micah 7, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. In Jesus, your soul will see the fullness of grace poured out. In John 1, of all His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. grace poured out. You want righteousness, you want wisdom, you want sanctification, and He promises you will have it. In Christ, He will fill your mouth. 1 Corinthians 1. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You will find all in Christ. All and everything that satisfies and makes happy. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so then what? If there is nothing outside of Christ that truly satisfies and makes the soul truly happy, and if there is everything in Christ that satisfies and brings true joy, then open thy mouth wide to Christ. And Jesus says, I will fill it. I will fill it. Open your mouths wide, communicants who come to the table. Open your mouths wide, all of you. Because you know that you have many times opened your mouths to the world and your lusts. And were you ever truly filled? No. Because you kept wanting more and never being truly satisfied. You've never received. Well, then come to Christ and try Him. And He will fill your mouth. That's His promise. And He's always faithful. And what has the world given your lusts? What have your lusts given? You have loved the world, your passions, and it returns to you in what? Hatred. Destruction. Never getting anything that cares for you, nor satisfies your soul. But if you would take that affection, your emotions, your affections, and put it on Christ, then you would be rewarded. If Christ can't fill you, then nothing will fill you. But Christ can and will fill your souls. That's His promise. And He is the storehouse of all fullness. It dwells in Him. As we've heard, that of His fullness we all receive grace upon grace. Christ is the foundation that casts forth its waters, and still there's more and more. And He alone gives it. Think of the great picture in Genesis 45. Think of the time period, the famine that was going on, Joseph's in Egypt, and he's seeking to take care of his family. And it says, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee. And how do we know that He will fill us? But because He promised you, and He is faithful. Again, Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You come to Christ, He offers you freely. He is offered to you freely. To come and open your mouth wide, and He will fill it. And that's His command and promise. Well, you might ask, is this really true? Is this really true, what He says, that He will be faithful to fill my mouth if I come and I open it wide, knowing that it's empty and that He alone can satisfy? Is it really true? And He says, come and see. Come and see, and He will show you. All the saints here know. You can ask any of them. They have experienced it themselves, that in Christ is alone all happiness and all satisfaction. Moses testifies as well for us. In Hebrews, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He understood that true satisfaction was found in the Lord and in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. If you're full of sin, one theologian says, Christ offers to fill you freely as the rain falls from heaven and the sun shines without hire, and His fullness will wear out the fullness of sin. That's what He offers to you, for His grace is sufficient to cover a multitude of sins. And so you're to come now, He says, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And you look at verse 10. And what does He say? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. We're thankful that He now sits as our Mediator King in glory. That He calls to us today to open our mouths wide, and He will fill it. And so, Father, we pray that we would come by faith, knowing that You will fill our souls in Christ alone, and that we will be truly satisfied in Him alone, and rejoice truly alone in Him who is the God of our salvation, who redeems our souls, even from bondage to sin. And so, by Your Spirit today, cause us to open the mouths of our souls wide. And Lord, be faithful and fill it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.